with Jimmy Clark.
Good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Woo, that was close. Talking to the bosses. Anyway, happy Friday, everybody. Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanette Center. It is 64.9 degrees. Humidity is 18. Let's check out some temperatures from around the state. If it'll come up. There it is. Currently at Slapout, Oklahoma, it's 59. Beavers, 57. The May Ranch is 60. Woodward, 62. Arnett, home of the famous Lori Campbell, 62 degrees. 64 degrees at Cheyenne, home of the secret weapon. 67 at Hollis. 68 at Hobart. Let's see what's happening out in with the West Texas Mezzanette. 62 at Canadian, 62 at McLean, 64 at Wellington, 67 at Odell. Man, believe it or not, not a whole lot of wind going on out there for a change. We got that. I seen something on the Mezzanette a while ago that was kind of interesting. Not positive, but it's interesting. Consecutive days with less than 25 one-hundredths of an inch, quarter of an inch in rainfall. And I was kind of shocked at one of them. 53 days at Arnett, 53 at Woodward, 53 at Camargo and Sealing and Watonga and Butler, and then 35 at Eric, 10 days at Elk City. And that was a little storm that come through last week that was about a three-quarters of a mile long, wide, I mean, and 5 miles long, went through there and had all that hail and stuff in him. But Cheyenne, 85 consecutive days without any more than a quarter of an inch, if you even got that. Up in the panhandle of Oklahoma, 234 days at up there in Cimarron County, that's they haven't had a quarter of an inch in almost three-fourths of a year, two-thirds of a year. So it's crazy. 71 days down there at Medicine Park, 35 at Altus, 53 at Hobart. So anyway, but man, I don't want to get everybody hopes up, but starting Sunday, it looks some of the best chances of rain we've had in a long time. So just keep your fingers crossed and just pray that things are will happen starting Sunday. We got a really good shots at rain. I got a good feeling. That might not be good. It might not be bad. But anyway, I got a good feeling we're going to get some relief next week. It might not end the drought, but at least we get some relief. But here's a story out of Texas that I want to share with everybody because it's out of Amarillo, but it has a lot to do with western Oklahoma. The Texas drought continues to worsen on the high plains, but relief may come with the El Nino summer. Out of Amarillo, Texas, there at the National Weather Service, according to the most recent report from the Texas Water Development Board, large areas of south and central Texas saw significant relief from their drought conditions in the last few weeks. However, meanwhile, the Texas Panhandle drought has continued to worsen. The most recent drought maps from April 11th and on, as published by the TWDB, showed that around 59% of the Texas surface area was under drought conditions. While the percentage was a drastic drop from the previous week's reports, decreasing over 8% in a matter of days, it's mostly localized in south and central Texas. In the Texas Panhandle, eastern and northern counties especially saw continued creeping expansion of extreme and exceptional drought conditions. Both experts from the TWDB and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration consider it possible that the Texas Panhandle will soon see some much needed drought relief despite the current encroaching severity, with the end of the La Nina conditions and the chance of an early shift into the El Nina. As noted in previous reports, the NSO the neutral conditions during weather, neither, which neither La Nina or nor El Nino is active, were expected to end at some point in the summer or early fall. However, TWDB's Dr. Mark Wessel, said in most recent Water Weekly, there's about a 75% chance that El Nino will be take over sometime between June and August. That's good news for the Panhandle, he said, where El Nino is associated with above average precipitation during those months. So that's some positive news, positive thoughts there. So anyway, let's see what happened overnight before we take a first Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour break. Corn is currently trading down, and this was overnight, 2 cents, and soybeans was down about 12 cents. Wheat on the Chicago Board of Trade is up 3 cents, and Kansas City wheat is down is up a penny. Grain traders were given friendly weather forecasts in the U.S. weather in June, July, and August this week, said Bob Lehman, commodities broker for Cluis Commodity Advisors. If those updated models are correct, it will mean a high possibility for near trend line yields. If that is the case, then the U.S. balance sheets will grow to a healthy level, likely leading to further price declines. He adds the latest weather models have increased the amount of rainfall for parts of Kansas and Oklahoma over the next 2 weeks. Unfortunately, the wheat has lost to the drought and will not benefit from the rains. If the rain does pan out as forecasted, then we could see those areas plant soybeans or other fall crops. Speaking of soybean, I'm working on a project. I'm puzzled by it, some deals. I know there's some soybeans been grown out here in western Oklahoma, central west, or southwest, without much luck due to the lack of humidity for pollination and stuff like that. But I heard the other day a guy was telling me there's some people that's growing soybeans down around Mountain Park or Mountain View down in there and been very successful in doing it for dry land. And text in to me your phone number if you've grown some soybeans successfully and in western Oklahoma, and I'll call you after the show. I'm kind of working on a project, and I'd like to ask you a few questions. Text line is 580-225-9697. Corn and soybean sales to overseas buyers declined in the last 7 days. It ended on April 13th, while wheat sales improved, according to the USDA. Exporters sold 312,400 metric tons of corn for offshore delivery for the 22-23, down 41% from the previous week and 79% from the prior four-week average. The top three buyers with corn: China, 420,000 tons, Saudi, 73,000 metric tons, and Colombia, 71,000 metric tons. Soybean sales were down also 73% week over week to 100,000 metric tons for 22-23 contracts, according to the USDA. The top three buyers were the Netherlands, 128,300 tons, 45,900 tons went to Mexico, and China, 35,000 tons, metric tons that is. Wheat sales, however, improved 91% from the previous week and 93% from the average to 259,000 metric tons for 22-23 year, according to the USDA. Top three buyers: South Korea, Taiwan, and the Philippines. Exports for the week declined 28% to 202,800 metric tons. Weather for our farm belt through the middle of the United States. The National Weather Service says parts of Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Kansas, and Nebraska are currently under alert from freezing weather. Southwest Iowa, eastern Nebraska, northeast Kansas, and northwest Missouri are under a freeze warning currently. Meanwhile, southeast Kansas, most of Missouri, northwest Illinois, and southern Iowa are under a freeze watch for the next day or two. Further north, the northern half of Minnesota, many counties in North Dakota, and the northeast corner of South Dakota are under a winter weather advisory, in Minnesota. The advisory is in effect till 7 o'clock this evening. So snow accumulation as much as 4 inches. In North Dakota, the advisory is in effect till 1 a.m. Central Time Saturday, and snow accumulation up to 3 inches there. Several counties in eastern North Dakota and western Minnesota, as well as northern Wisconsin, are on alert for flooding. Many counties in South Dakota are under a wind advisory. I haven't checked on there. There was a meteorologist who used to work in Oklahoma City for Channel 9, I believe, Chase, whatever his name is. He works out there at Utah now. I got to get a hold of him. I want to stay in contact with him. You imagine that 800 or 900 inches of snow when it starts melting, what it's going to do to that area over there. I remember it had been 15, 20 years ago, they had a big snow accumulation in Utah, and they had to sandbag the city streets in Salt Lake City to make man-made rivers for all that runoff. It was crazy. So I'm going to keep in touch with that a little bit on there. All right. When I come back from this Wheeler General store break, we'll have some stuff on update on the grain markets, on the cattle markets. I got news from Woodward yesterday. Things are down a little bit, but still really good and on the cattle part. And we'll go from there. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is Drew Cobb with your Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, April 14th. All you great stewards of the land. 1,536 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 267 brought 265. 6 at 428 brought 260. 15 at 518 brought 251. 10 at 580 brought 234. 5 at 661 brought 206. 9 at 684 brought 209. 10 at 749 brought 186.50. 4 head of heifers at 296 brought 240. 3 at 447 brought 240. 10 at 453 brought 242. 11 at 580 brought 207. 4 at 650 brought 192. 10 at 695 brought 187.50. 12 at 890 brought 175. Butcher cows were 48 to 107. Butcher bulls brought 65 to 127. Bred cows were 810 to 1700. Pairs brought 1025 to 2475. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's about a 580-497-6095.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back to Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Texas, out here in the Texas Panhandle, I have picked the big, great big city of Dozier. It's currently there at 66 degrees, humidity's 14%. Dew point is 16, winds are out of the west at 9 miles an hour, with gusts up to 13. Peak wind gust today is 18 miles an hour so far. Month-to-date precipitation is 0 to 100s, 2 100s, 0.2, however you want to do that, or 21 thousandths of an inch, as they say up there in Roger Mills County around the great big city of Grimes. Red flag minutes today, 0. Sub-freezing minutes today, 0. 8-inch soil temperature at Dozier is 64 degrees. Well, today is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. It is the go-to store in Wheeler County, Texas, from animal feed and farm and ranch supplies to paint and barbecue supplies. They are a one-stop shop. The Wheeler General Store has been serving the Texas Panhandle for over 30 years. The owners, Nathan and Charity Heffley, take pride in knowing when you walk into their store, their team will be there ready to help you with all your product needs. Being a do-it-best store in a small town makes it easy and affordable to get products that are hard to find in a timely manner. Keep your farm and ranch running properly with all the items that they offer. Delivering feed is their specialty. They have been a high-pro dealer for over 10 years. They deliver feed to ranches and stores all over the Texas Panhandle, Kansas, Oklahoma, and even New Mexico. Located at 15868 Highway 152, just outside of Wheeler, Texas, they look forward to serving you. Easy to find, right there on the east side of Wheeler, south side of the road. Can't miss them. Great store to go to. Before I get on with the livestock and grain markets, 2023 KECO Senior Photo Showcase. Parents, if you're living out there, you don't have to be from Elk City. You can be from anywhere in our listening areas. Woodward, Altus, Benson. And anyway, parents, if you want to show off those senior pictures of your awesome senior or brag on your photographer this year, upload a few of the coolest pictures to KECOFM.com. the website. After graduation, we'll choose the most creative picture of all the entries, and the winner will get a free steak dinner at Simon's Catch Steakhouse. Just go to KECOFM.com and click on the link to upload your pictures. How cool is that? Anyway, if you want to brag on your senior that's graduating this year, what a better way to do that. We'll have it all over the website. So anyway, all right, let's get back to the agriculture. Let me update this real quick. It's been a few minutes. Looks like everything, and I mean everything but lean hogs, is in the red today. May corn, 658. July, 613. Soybeans for May, 1480. 1445 for July. Soybean meal for May, 445.40. July, 442.90. August, 433.60. Soybean oil for May, 53.55. July is 53.69. Hard red winter wheat. May, 834. July, 819. Oats for May, 337. July is 336. Then let's see here. Cotton, down quite a bit. May is at 79 cents and July is at 80 cents a pound. All right, live cattle for April, 173.17, June, 164.30, August, 163.42, October, 167.72. Feeder cattle for April, 203.85. Open that up. There we go. May is 212.30, 229.72 for August, 232.42 for September, 234.05 for October, And November just keeps creeping up a little bit every day. And November's 234.75. So yesterday, up there at Woodward, they had 3,313 head. Last week they had 3,850. Last year this time it was 2,700 head. Compared to last week, the feeder steers and heifers steady to $5 lower. Steer calves $5 to $10 lower. Heifer calves $6 to $10 lower. Demand was moderate. Quality was average. It's down a little bit, but there's still some pretty good prices going on right here. Your 3 to 4 range, it looks like it was anywhere from 275 to 305 on steers. On your 4 to 5 range, anywhere from 247 all the way up to 276. 5 to 6 range, anywhere from 225 to 256. On the 6 to 7 range, looks like 211 was the lowest, and 246 was the, let me back up, 251 was the highest on some 625 pounders. 7 to 8 range, they had 198 to 209, and then the 8 range was anywhere from 188 to 203.50, and in the 9 range they had 176.50 and 178. And so anyway, over 1,000 pounds was 164. On the heifers, let's go with some 4 weights, was 240, looked like was top end. On the 500 pound weights, 228.50 was the top end. 600 weights was 206 was the top end, and the 7 weights 198, and the 8 weights $1.81.75. So the looks like that they said the heifers were down a little, 5 to 10, but looks like they were still in check with what's been going on the last week. Not a numbers guy, but I know a buddy that sold some 7 weight or 8 weight heifers last week that brought 174, and these were bringing 176.50 to 181. So I'd say it's still in the same range. Anyway, all right, let's take a Hobart. Let's take a Wheeler General Store break, and when I come back, I got some news for you. We're going to be looking at some spray rigs, new or used. I thought it was a pretty cool article. And then talk a little bit about the interest rates as far as on farm loans and some other stuff coming up. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
It's time to relax and enjoy life worry-free at Woodland Gardens Assisted Living in Hobart, Oklahoma. You're in your golden years, and most days you're too tired to mow the yard or do needed repairs to the house. Maybe you're not able to. How does living in a private suite of your own sound? Wouldn't you like to be surrounded by a loving, caring staff that enjoys helping you have the best life possible? There's a wonderful little community of folks about your age in Hobart enjoying those things right now. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner is served every day. All utilities are taken care of so you wouldn't have to worry about bills. They keep the place nice and clean. They even have one deep cleaning every week. Safety is top priority as 24-hour monitoring is provided, and you'll love the daily activities. Scheduled transportation is also available. Visit Woodland Gardens Assisted Living online and see their ad in the Penny News. That's Woodland Gardens Assisted Living in Hobart, Oklahoma.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
The biggest mistake I've seen when people are purchasing insurance or coming in to visit with us is being underinsured. You know, the state minimum on auto insurance is $25,000, $50,000, and that's too low. I mean, if you run into somebody's new vehicle and it costs $50,000 and you only have $25,000 in coverage, that's going to come out of your pocket. So, you know, we try to make sure that our customers are insured how they need to be to get the coverage. I mean, if you're going to have insurance, you need to have it for the right reasons, and that's to protect themselves. I mean, that's why they have it. I'm really in the business of protecting the customer. When it comes to protection, it's not a large amount more to go ahead and get the coverage you need.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Here's your northwestern Oklahoma and northeastern Texas panhandle forecast for you. Camargo, 64 degrees, feels like 64. Dew point is 17, humidity 60, no rain in the last 24 hours. Wind out of the north, northwest, 10 miles an hour with wind gust up to 16. Sunrise 6:58, sunset at 8:15. Partly sunny and 69 today. Wind's going to be like they are basically right now. Tomorrow, a little cooler. Northeast winds tomorrow. That's where it's cooling down. 56 degrees and mostly cloudy. Tomorrow night, 30% chance of rain showers, 35 degrees. Cover up your plants out there that doesn't need to get a little frost on them, because you know how this can go. Sunday, 60% chance of rain showers, 52 for a high. Sunday night, 50% chance of rain showers, 38 for a low. Monday, 70% chance of rain showers, likely in 53. Monday night, 90% chance of rain showers. And Tuesday, 57 for a high and an 80% chance of rain. And I looked on down the line there. We got a couple more days of chances of rain after that. So anyway, everybody cross their fingers and pray and have faith that we get some rain coming for all parts of western Oklahoma and the Texas and Oklahoma panhandles. How about that? Okay, coming up a week from tomorrow, the Hobart Stockyard Spring Special Replacement Sale at 11 a.m. Rex will be serving lunch in the crowd. You don't have to get up. He'll even bring you a napkin. I promise you, I've been there. He's done it. 300 young pairs, 20 bred bulls, 40 breeding age bulls, 10 replacement heifers, all kinds. They got Angus, Red Angus, Angus and Charlet, Angus, got Charlets, Herefords, replacement. They got 10 Charlet replacement heifers and 10 Angus replacement heifers already consigned. Bulls, 10 Red Angus, 8 Charlets, 6 Semi Cross, and 10 Black Angus. For more information about that, at Hobart next Saturday, call Mr. Rex Fleming, where we want your business, and we do appreciate it, as he always says. Anyway, also, we had a guest on yesterday, Donald Brown from the R.A. Brown Ranch down there south of Wichita Falls, Texas. And coming up next Tuesday, Texas A&M Hemp Hill County Beef Conference, put on by Capital Farm Credit. April 25th and 26th, keynote speaker will be Willie Robinson of Duck Dynasty. So for more information, just go to www.hemphillcountytexasbeef.com to register, or even looking at their agenda. And it's, man, it just sounds like it's going to be, get on there and look at their agenda. It's looks like it's going to be a blast. And the couple of guests I've had on the show this week, very well-known people in the cattle business. I think it's going to be fun. Check the numbers out, see what's going on with all that. So we got that going on. All right, here we go. All right, we haven't talked about equipment in a while, and it is equipment season. Do you buy a new sprayer or go used? Typically, year-old applicators would be in short supply compared to those 2 to 5 years old. But the marketplace is inverted these days for two reasons. Manufacturing of sprayers in 2020 and 2021 were limited by severe shortage of components, and sprayer purchases were light before 2020 due to depressed commodity prices. Last year, manufacturers figured out workarounds for the component shortages and began turning out more applicators, which has strengthened the number of 2022 model year applicators on the market at press time. One consistency is self-propelled applicators and their tendency to be featured rich. As we explore the most popular 2022 John Deere models, the 410R, the 412R, the 612R, and the 616R, with the 410R winning the popularity contest. The abundance of options and accessories became obvious. Rare was the listing that could be considered pared down. Today's applicators are purchased with a dizzying array of options, such as upgrading lighting, including LED boom lights, three boom widths, traction control, hydraulic tread adjustment, boom air purge, direct chemical injection systems, five-way nozzle bodies, automatic boom leveling, deluxe cabs, and electronic packages that offer automatic control of all major sprayer functions. All these additions certainly influence dealers' asking prices, accounting for the differences shown in this price guide, where we feature a spread of self-propelled applicators listed from the highest to the lowest price offering. The prices varied, but hours of use were fairly consistent. Most of the listings in the price guide fall range from 250 hours to 500 hours. However, if you're in the market for a 5 to 8 year old applicator, the good news is that the sprayers of this age are in decent supply at a dealer or on auction lots. True, the tight supply of new and late model applicators have eaten into the older used inventory in the past 2 years. But sprayers of this age in good condition with moderate 2,500 plus hours can be found if you invest time surfing the internet. In that regard, prime online searching include machinefinder.com, John Deere's dealer sites, caseihused.com, tractorhouse.com, and machinerytrader.com. If you're interested in buying from the dealer outside your area, it's highly recommended that you work with your local dealer to complete the transaction. Besides the benefit of the dealer's ability to make arrangements for transportation, the good will generate from working with your dealer will pay off when the sprayer needs support or repairs down the road. If you are exchanging equipment, even if it involves a purchase lease back, consult with your accountant to see whether the transaction creates a tax liability. Tax law changed in 2019, making it necessary to sell an old asset for the trade-in value and put the new asset on the depreciation schedule at its full market value, says Tina Barrett of the Nebraska Farm Business. This can generate significant taxable income. You'll want to make sure you have planned on this sale. Need to think about it. For many operations, this could be hundreds of thousands of dollars in new gain. Tax regulations preserved like kind exchange treatment for real property, but eliminate it for personal property. Equipment or livestock treated as taxable events when the taxpayer computing gain or loss based upon the difference between the amount realized on the sale of the relinquished asset and the party adjusted basis in the asset. To help explain this confusing set of rules, she offers an example. Look at this. Suppose Sam trades a tractor with a fair market value of $75,000 and an adjusted basis of $0, plus $50,000 cash for a tractor with a fair market value of $125,000. For that tax year, this transaction will be treated as a sale and a purchase. Sam must now recognize $75,000 and recapture the difference between the fair market value of the traded tractor at the 75 and its adjusted basis of zero. This transition will be reported on Part 3 of Form 4797 and taxed as ordinary income, no self-employment tax. Sam uses the proceeds of the sale plus the extra $50,000 in cash to purchase his new tractor. Thus, Sam's basis in his new tractor now will be $125,000, the full purchase price of the new tractor. Sam can likely expense this amount in Section 179. If Section 179 is not available, he can use 100% bonus to capitalize and depreciate the full amount. In other words, you just need to talk to your accountant. How about that? Anyway, so go buy you a new sprayer. Come on. Somebody go buy a new sprayer today and let me know who it is. Okay, I got a real short deal I want to read here about the key differences between the ERP Phase 2 and the PARP. All right? We've all been going to some meetings and learning upon this. And don't blow the phones off the FSA offices and say, Jimmy said this, Jimmy said that. I'm reading this to you off the Ag Web website. If you got anything, just get back on the Ag Web website and check it out. And Paul Niffner brought this up. Farmers have a couple more months to apply for either the Emergency Relief Program, the ERP, Phase 2, or the Pandemic Assistance Relief Program, which is the PARP. Both of these programs start with allowable gross revenue, the AGR, in most cases use the same requirements. However, there are differences that can, and they can be material. Here are some of those differences. Listen closely. Like I said, don't be blowing up the FSA office. This is not what this is about. I'm just giving you a hint out there of some of the major differences here. The ERP is primarily a crop-based program, therefore no livestock sales are allowed as part of the AGR. The PARP allows for most livestock sales to be included. ERP requires the cost of crop insurance to be deducted against crop insurance proceeds. This is true even if the proceeds are minor and the cost exceeds the proceeds. PARP, on the other hand, allows for no deductions for premiums and fees. The ERP Phase 2 payments will be reduced by the Phase 1 payments. The PARP will be reduced by the total of Phase 1 and Phase 2 payments. These are some of the key differences we have found in reviewing several applications. There are probably others, and Paul Niffner is a very good accountant out of Oregon over there for the all ag websites, and just listen to what I said. And like I said, if you want to see what he says, he posted this yesterday on Ag Web, AGWEPB. So just anyway, check it out. All right, we're going to take a Wheeler General Store break. When we come back, I'll have your Holbrook Farm and Garden, Southwestern Oklahoma, and Western or Eastern Texas Panhandle forecast. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed. buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, Joe.
Did you know there's a racetrack in Elk City?
What kind of racetrack?
I'm talking about a 3/8 mile bank dirt speedway with cars sliding through the turns three wide at 100 miles per hour.
Whoa. That means Elk City Motorsports Park's roaring back to life for a full season of action-packed race nights.
This Saturday, the 130-mile-per-hour ASCS Sooner Region Sprint Cars slide into town. These 750-horsepower methanol-burning monsters are the fastest cars to ever visit our speedway. The fat tires and big wings allow these guys to do things most race cars can't. You've got to see it to believe it. Gates open at 5 p.m. with racing at 7 p.m. Tickets just $10 to $15 with kids under 8 free.
Joe, you know me. What about eats?
We've got you covered with an all-new concession stand chock full of tasty meats and treats.
Find out more info at Elk City Motorsports Park on Facebook or listen to KECO for a chance to win VIP tickets.
We'll sell you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
Good afternoon, all of Jimmy's great stewards of the land. This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 17th. I'm Drew Cobb. 2,138 head were sold. 7 head of steers are 472, brought 269. 5 and 566, brought 226. 15 and 717, brought 210. 82 at 831, brought 196. At 846, brought 189.50. 29 at 865, brought 189. 48 at 916, brought 185. 5 head of heifers at 238, brought 250. 30 at 577, brought 221.50. 17 and 664 brought 210. 15 and 729 brought 192.50. 5 at 834 brought 173. 11 at 890 brought 170. 5 at 1021 brought 155. Butcher cows were 30 to 103. Butcher bulls brought 53 to 120. Pairs were 950 to 1350. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. X is 71. Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580 497 6095. How about a 580 497 6095?
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom mats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
And listening to that commercial, I don't know, I know some of you guys know it, but you guys that irrigate a lot, if you didn't know it, Knutson Irrigation has parts out here at the Napa store in Sayre, Oklahoma. Just walk in there and tell them what you're looking for. They got fuses, hoses, hang down lines for pivots. They got everything going in there, all kinds of good stuff for side rows and stuff. So anyway, might call over there and see if they got what you want, or call Knutson and see if they got an inventory list of what's out here. So anyway, I keep meaning to say that. I didn't remember, but I remember today. All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. I've picked out the big town of Vinson, Oklahoma. How many of you guys out there know where Vinson, Oklahoma is? 66 degrees at 15 is the dew point. Humidity is 14. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. Hardly any wind out of the north at 3 miles an hour. Sunrise 7:02. Sunset at 8:15. Today, mostly sunny, 72 degrees. Northwest winds to west winds, 6 to 7 miles an hour. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, 62 degrees. Tomorrow night, 38 degrees with a 40% chance of showers. Sunday, 50 for a high, 80% chance of showers. East winds, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Same thing Sunday night, 60% chance of rain showers, 39 for a low. Monday, 80% chance of rain showers, 55 for a high. Monday night, 70% chance of rain showers, 45 will be the low. All these winds, finally, Monday, the wind switches out of the south. We're going to be north all the way up till Monday. Tuesday, rain showers likely, 70% chance, and 63 for a high. How about that? Yeah, bring it on. We need it. We need it bad. Okay. Here's we go. All right. The financial outlook for many farmers is favorable thanks to high commodity prices, but higher interest rates are an ongoing concern according to ag bankers surveyed by the Federal Reserve. Interest rates on farm loans to farmers were 3.5 to 4.5% points higher than opening months than they was from the end of 2021. So it's up a little bit from end of last year. Alongside additional increases in federal fund rates, interest rates on farm loans rose sharply, said Ag Finance the Ag Finance update released by the Kansas City Feds. The average rate was the highest price since 2007. Three-fourths of new loans in the first quarter had an interest rate above 7%, said in the report. In comparison to more than half the farm loans, had rates below 5% on the average from 2011 through 2020. The Federal Reserve has raised its federal funds rate 9 times since March of 2022, including a 0.25-point increase last month in a drive to squash the inflation. The U.S. inflation rate dropped to 5% on an annualized basis this month after topping 9% last June. Higher interest rate discouraged farmers from borrowing money during the first quarter of this year, said the ag bankers. The softening in lending activity kept total operating loan values at about 15% below the average over the past decade, said the Kansas City Federal Reserve. Producers applied for fewer loans and borrowed smaller amounts when they took out loans. Remarkably, strong farm income increased during the recent years has bolstered liquidity for the many producers and support historically strong farm loan performance, said the Kansas City Feds. The outlook on farm finances remains favorable alongside elevated commodity prices, but higher interest rates, increased production costs, and drought remain key with the ongoing concerns. Like out here in Kansas and Texas, Panhandle, and Oklahoma, we got it going on. The U.S. net farm income set back-to-back records in 21 and 22 and is expected to be the third highest on record this year. Cash expenses were projected to be the highest ever, but feed, fuel, and fertilizer costs will be lower than last year. In March, the Kansas City Fed said farm real estate values increased considerably in 2022 but showed signs of softening during the final months of 2022 as interest rates rose sharply. There you have it. Got that out of the way. Always them. I wish Jill was in here today. I know she's busy. She's getting ready for this. She's got like a week and a half of school left. She's excited. Hannah Everts, this is a story ran across. She is going to talk about her full circle of FFA experience. Hannah Everts grew up in rural Ohio, active in 4-H, FFA, and making memories at the county fair. Between showing livestock and helping area farmers with field works, Everts was elected state FFA president her senior year of high school. Her next chapter began at the Ohio State University in pursuit of a college degree. But Everts wasn't ready to leave FFA yet. I felt like my FFA journey wasn't entirely done yet and decided to run for national office. In 2008, she was elected National FFA's Eastern Region Vice President. Everts spent the next year traveling the U.S. and abroad, fueled by a passion for agriculture education. When her term and bachelor's degree was complete, she returned to the classroom, this time as the teacher. For the next 9 years, Everts served as FFA advisory Today, she works as an account manager for Traction Ag, a software company that offers cloud-based accounting tools designed specifically for farmers. Everett's recent set-down with Successful Farming to share how more than 15 years of FFA involvement prepared her for success. And I just wanted to go through some of these questions that was asked to her. So they asked her, did you always imagine your career would be in agriculture? She said, I always did, especially when I got into high school. FFA is really where I found my fit. I was always into athletics and lots of extracurricular activities, but it was a square peg, round hole type of thing. I didn't really feel like I belonged anywhere until I got into FFA and thought, I have some real strengths here, and I'm really developing as a person. That's what I wanted to pursue and then provide the opportunity for other students. As both a teacher and a national officer, I just wanted to advocate for the sense of belonging and family that I think FFA can bring. So they ask her, when you joined FFA, was there an activity or person who helped you realize it was a good fit for you? She said, my parents like to tell this story because the first contest that I participated in was in the procedure in FFA, learning how to run a business meeting in the parliament part. A huge component of that is debating. My parents have always said, you like to argue since you were knee high. That was a perfect fit. It gave me an avenue where arguing in the name of the game, but doing it strategically with valid reasons and data was very important. It sounds like FFA gave you a place to apply a natural interest and hone that skill. And she said, absolutely, and working as a team in that aspect, I don't know that students can get the experience of working in a team setting without it being physical like athletics. I don't think that we push the teamwork in a mental setting as much, like quiz bowl or mock trial team. Those things are not always common in the rural small communities. So students just don't have that avenue to explore those types of interests. That was definitely the case for us. So FFA was what provided those opportunities. Last year, this goes on and on, but I wanted to get to this question. So they ask her, what can farmers or local agriculture or the local agriculture industry do to support these types of opportunities? She said, specifically for FFA, volunteering to be on an advisory committee or joining their local FFA alumni, you don't have to be a former member to do that. It's also important to volunteer to be a guest speaker. I know people don't always love to do that, but that's what always super valuable is to have people in the classroom to answer. Hey, you started your own hog operation. How'd you do that? Even just volunteering to come in and mentor students. When we do some career fair type things, we would bring in folks that have invented their own ag products. Something as simple as a fitting for a leaf blower that would blow out different types of fertilizer on small plots. That was really unique, and we could bring them in and say, somebody from our small town did this. You can be successful too. I thought that was pretty cool. How FFA has made this lady right here super successful in what she do, and she's pretty smart too. Anyway, we got all kinds of things going on. I forgot to tell you guys about my little adventure this morning on Clark Farm and Ranch. Loaded up two bulls this morning, headed to town, had a cap almost come off before I got to the vet, unloaded them. Dr. Mouse tested the one bull, the young bull. He was 98%. She said it was really good. Anyway, thank you for that. Took a couple calves to the sale barn. Now I got to go down here pretty quick and load up 8 more pairs that she's bred since yesterday, and take the mamas and babies back to their home station out here west of Elk. I got 2 new tires put on the trailer, that's for sure. And anyway, got a lot going on this weekend. You guys have a great weekend. I'll see you Monday. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark. God bless.